as we talk about what it means to be people of the resurrection. One of my favorite stories is that story in Luke where it describes this journey on the road to Emmaus. These two disciples that are downcast and they're moving away from Jerusalem and they express this idea that they no longer have hope. In fact, some would say that these two are walking away from a place of faith. The place of gathering at Jerusalem where they were all excited. They were probably there welcoming Jesus on this donkey into Jerusalem. And they saw the week unfold. They saw Jesus die and they haven't yet discovered what is happening. It's a turbulent time for them. I love the fact that in throughout church history, many people have recognized that this is probably a married couple, a couple that's pointed to later on in the scripture as well. This is probably a man and woman who have been expressed through art throughout church history. These are two disciples who are agonizing and their hearts are stirred within them. I wanted to share a little bit of a snapshot of what it's been like coming back to church over the last few weeks. And in order to do so, I want to share this illustration of a storm in Waihee. Now, I used to live in Waihee, up on a hill, and on Hurd Road. There's some people who used to live in Waihee here in the room as well, so you may know where that is. Now, Waihee means, in Māori, it means gushing water. And it's called that for a reason, because when it rains, it really rains. There's gushing water. Now, in this particular storm, the water was overflowing out of my gutters. And so I was outside on a ladder, just checking to make sure that the gutters weren't blocked. And as I did that, I noticed that there was some water in the rain gauge. I wanted to see how much rain was falling. So I emptied the rain gauge. It was about 30 mils in there. Emptied the rain gauge. When I came back, just over an hour later, the rain gauge was entirely full. I don't know exactly how much fell, but at least 100 mils within the space of just over an hour. That's quite a lot of rain. The gutters weren't blocked. I was drenched. It was just there was too much rain. The rain was running like a river down our street. And as things eventuated, we discovered that we were blocked in. Locked in because the three roads that led out of our area to go in any direction, the waters had all overflowed over the road. We were blocked in. In fact, one of the roads where the bridge was, one of the bridges, because all three bridges were blocked, one of the bridges had more than a meter of water go over the top of it. The river itself redirected itself through someone's paddock. And so there was this damage everywhere. There was fences down. There was all this livestock that had kind of got stranded and lost. There was people who had significant damage to their property. Now, in this particular storm, at our house up on the hill, apart from my gutters that were not coping with the volume of water, we were relatively untouched. All the water went downhill. The next day, there was no sign of a storm. No sign at all of a storm. And so for us, we could carry on our life as normal, except that it was a little bit more inconvenient because one of the bridges was still blocked. We had to go the long way. However, for other people, there were farmers who were cleaning up the mess for weeks later. There were people there where there was significant damage to their lives, to their property, a costly, expensive exercise, water in their homes and stuff that they took weeks, months, and thousands of dollars to recover. Coming back to church has felt a little bit like this storm. We've all been in a storm. For some of us, that's meant that we've had the inconvenience of isolation. Some have meant it takes longer to do some of the things that we used to do. But what I've observed is that there is such a range of different experiences through the storm. Same storm, different experiences. There are some who, like me with the house on the hill, hasn't really affected you. Might have even been a positive time, and you're excited and ready to move back and get stuck into everything. And for other people, the last 6 months have been absolutely devastating. There's been friction, damage to relationship, damage to family, to property, loss of jobs, people struggling enormously. And I say that because during this time, I've observed some people coming back to this moment, to church, over the last month. And for some, it has felt like the end of a marathon. And people have been running and ministering, and they are exhausted from the load that they have carried over this last 6 months. And other people are refreshed and excited and ready to go. I found myself wondering, how do you do church ministry in the context of such varying need? Where do we put our energy? Where do we put our strength? For me, I've found most of my energy and time has gone into the lives of people who are struggling deeply. It's been walking with the wounded over this time. And in this story of the road to Emmaus, it seems to me that this is where we find Jesus. Jesus walking with a couple of people who are downcast and broken and disappointed because of the events that have happened as they grapple with it. And in fact, these ones, as some describe, seem to even be walking away from that place of faith, walking away from that place of community there in Jerusalem. And Jesus appears and walks with them. And I notice what he doesn't do. He doesn't jump in front of them and say, "Hey, I'm back, it's me." Do you know what he does? He takes the time to enter their sadness, to listen to their story, to listen to their questions, and walk alongside them. He uses this time to unfold the scriptures, to show how this points to him. And yet throughout this journey, they still don't recognize him. And later on in the story, there is this moment where he's invited into their place, in their community, in their home. Not coming to his place, not coming to the synagogue. We're not in the temple at the moment. We're not in Jerusalem. We're in the homes of the broken. And as he shares a meal with them and breaks the bread, in that moment, their eyes are opened and they recognize the resurrected Jesus. And I find that story profound and amazing. And I wonder at this season whether God is calling us to walk with the wounded, calling us to those who are walking away from their faith, who are struggling and dealing with hopelessness. These are the places where Jesus is calling us to. We're going to be taking communion in just a moment. And as we do so, there's an invitation for us to take the bread and the cup and to remember and to receive the work of the risen Jesus Christ in our lives, for our eyes to be open and say, "Yes, Jesus, we recognize you. We surrender our lives afresh to you. Lord, we repent of our sin, of our past. We walk into the future with you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we receive and accept you. Our eyes are on you." We're going to be doing that in a moment. But it's more than that, because in this story, I think that Jesus is calling us not only to be the people that receive and recognize the risen Savior, but to be the ones who walk in the footsteps of Jesus in places in the community along the road to Emmaus with people outside of the faith community who need to know him. And sometimes that takes time. Sometimes that takes energy. Sometimes it takes a lot of conversation and they still don't recognize, they don't get it. Sometimes it takes being in people's lives, in their homes, sharing this journey with them. It's a long and slow process, but somewhere in that place, their eyes will be opened to see him. And Jesus is calling us not just to receive the gift of his salvation, but to be ones who walk in the footsteps of a resurrected king, to bring this hope and to bring this life into the lives of other people who are hopeless and full of despair in this season. I'd like to invite our worship team back in this moment. And as they lead us in this song, we're going to take communion. It's there in front of you. If you're watching online, quickly run and grab some juice and some bread and join in with us. During this next song, in your own time, I invite you to take this cup representative of the blood of Jesus, his blood that was shed for you, and take this bread, maybe even break this bread, symbolic of that moment in Emmaus at this table where Jesus showed who he was through the breaking of bread, through hospitality, through fellowship in that setting. And as you do, I want us to sit with a stance of openness, of simply saying, hey, Jesus, what is it that you're calling me to? Who are the people that you are calling me to journey with at this time? Who are the people that you might be calling me even to step outside of the typical gatherings and walk with the hurting and the broken so that they may find hope in Jesus once again? Let's pray. Jesus, we believe that you have risen again. Were not our hearts burning within us, yearning for you before we even knew it, seeking you even when we didn't understand? So today we receive, we embrace, we recognize you, Jesus. You are Lord. You are the Savior of the world. And Lord Jesus, we need, as those early followers of you, we need just as them to be moved from that place where, from hopelessness and despair and discouragement, into that place of recognizing who you are, filled with wonder and joy once again. Today we take the bread and the cup, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. Amen.